Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. When I was 12 years old, my dad took my mom, my brother, and I to Colorado for a week. He had a friend who had a cabin on a lake, and his family and our family were going to fish. Mom didn't fish, but it was fun for Dad and my brother and I. It was a rough week for Mom. She did not get along with this person's wife. Plus, they had a rather spoiled little girl. And I can remember during the week Mom saying, "Kids, we're going to kill them with kindness. Kill them with kindness." And that is our topic today. How can I get along with people that I don't like? Does the Bible give some practical advice on how to deal with our enemies? I think it does. Would you take out your Bible? Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul, about 57 AD, is writing this advice to Christians in Rome. And let's hear what he says. Let's pray first. Father, we pray for all of us listening to this program that your Holy Spirit would speak to us through these words. If there's anyone watching this that has an enemy or is having a hard time forgiving, God, speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 14. Paul writes, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not." The first thing we do with our enemies, when they curse you, you bless them. It's kind of like killing your enemies with kindness, as Mom would say. I remember years ago going to a worship service. A young woman got up and gave her testimony. She said, "I have an enemy. This person so bothers me that I had to get Christian counseling." And my counselor said, "When you think of this person, pray a blessing on them. God bless their health, their finances, bring them to Christ." But she said, "Ever since I started doing this, it broke. I'm doing fine now." Bless those who persecute you. Here's a poem. The day when Jesus stood alone and felt the hearts of men like stone and knew he came but to atone, that day he held his peace. They witnessed falsely to his word. They bound him with a cruel cord. They mockingly proclaimed him Lord. But Jesus held his peace. Dear friend, have you for far much less, with rage which you called righteousness, resented slights with great distress? Remember, Jesus held his peace. 500 years ago, Martin Luther told the story of two billy goats that are walking across a narrow bridge, and they confront each other. They can't go backwards. They can't fight, or they'd fall to their deaths. And they looked at each other for a while, and finally, one of the goats laid down, and the other goat trampled on him, and then he got up, and they both made it safe to the other side. And Luther said, "The moral is easy. Be content if your person be trod upon for peace's sake." Your person, I say, and not your conscience. So, first thing we do with our enemies is we bless them when they persecute us. Second thing we do with our enemies, look at verse 15 of Romans 12. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Second thing, rejoice and weep with your enemies. I mean, let's say that somebody at work is really bothersome for you and they get promoted. Well, congratulate them. Rejoice. Or their mother dies. Well, I'm sorry to hear about your mom. Rejoice and weep with your... And you might say, "Yeah, but I'd feel like such a hypocrite because I wouldn't really mean it." Well, Christians, we don't live by our feelings. If I have to wait till my feelings are there for me to obey the Bible, I won't do most of this. So first, you don't curse them, you bless them. And secondly, you do what it says here, you rejoice with them, weep with them. Third thing to do with our enemies is verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Here's the next thought about our enemies. Don't think you are above your enemy. I think it was D.L. Moody in Chicago one night preaching to a large crowd. In the middle of a sermon, a drunk stumbles into the auditorium, goes up, stumbles right in front of the stage, then stumbles toward the door, and somebody stood up and said, "Thank you, Pastor Moody, that you're preaching here in Chicago. It's riffraff like that that we need to clean up out of our town." And D.L. Moody pointed to the drunk as he left the door and said, "Sir, there but by the grace of God go I." You know, the only reason you're not doing what your enemy is doing is because you have Christ in your life. Don't think you're better than anybody. Next thing to do is verse 17. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Next thing to do about your enemy, take no revenge. Now, there is a distinction here. Revenge is wrong, but confronting is okay. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, if your brother sins, rebuke him. I mean, here's a man who said to me, "I'm so tired of people using Jesus as a swear word at my office." So finally, one day I said, "You know, excuse me, I'm a Christian. Your language offends me." As long as you're humble about it, it's okay to do that kind of thing. Now, if he was to go out and slash their tires, that would be wrong. But a gentle, humble confronting is a good thing. Some years ago, a man was asked to come give the opening prayer at the Topeka, Kansas State Legislature. And here is what he prayed. Heavenly Father, today we ask for your forgiveness and seek your mercy. Your word says, "Woe to those who call evil good," but that is what we do. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it moral pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and call it choice. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and call it taxes. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and call it freedom of expression. Cleanse us from every sin, Lord, and set us free. I ask it in the name of your Son, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Boy, did people get upset with his prayer. I think if we lovingly, humbly do that kind of thing, nothing's wrong with that. Revenge is forbidden, but confrontation is allowed if it's done in the right spirit. Next thing to do about our enemies, verse 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Here's the next thing to do. You do what you can. I mean, I remember during that rough week in Colorado when I was 12, my mom went out and bought a present for the 12-year-old girl who was kind of a handful. That was her way of trying to do a little something to make peace. If you are at odds with somebody right now, can you think of something you can do to try to make peace? Bill Bright was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, and he wrote this: "I have discovered the most important words in marriage are, 'I'm sorry, I was wrong, I love you, will you forgive me?'" So you do what you can with peace, but notice it says in verse 18 there, if possible. As far, Paul means by that, there are times it's not going to be possible to have peace with people, and you just got to live with the impossibility. I'm thinking of a certain woman who has a difficult husband. But she has stuck it out with that guy her whole life because she made a vow at the beginning of her marriage, till death do us part. You know, I'm an old guy now, but the older generation, older than me, I have a lot of respect for those people, most of whom are dead now, because they had long-lasting marriages. If possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace. But if it's impossible, you do the best you can. Look at verse 19. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Here's the next thing to do regarding your enemy. Let God do the spanking. Let me give you a one-minute history lesson on the book of Romans. The book of Romans was written about 57 AD when crazy Nero was the emperor of the Roman Empire. There were a lot of crazy Caesars. Probably the very worst was Nero. Nero wanted to build a big new palace, but there were a lot of buildings in Rome. So you've heard the phrase, Nero fiddled while Rome burned. The theory is that Nero himself started the fire to clear the land so he could build his palace. So he did that. And people now are starting to get angry at the emperor. And listen to this account from an ancient historian. Nero wanted to build a huge palace for himself, so to clear the land, he set fire to Rome in 64 AD. The city was devastated. Nero starts building his palace. Rumors fly that Nero started the fire. To quench the rumors, Nero said, "The Christians did it." Christians are hunted down, and one ancient historian wrote, "Hundreds of Christians were convicted. In their deaths, they were mocked. They were covered in the skins of wild animals, torn to death by dogs, crucified or set on fire, so that when darkness fell, they burned like torches in the night. Nero opened up his own gardens for this spectacle. As a result, although the Christians were guilty of being Christians and deserved death, according to that historian, people began to feel sorry for the Christians. They realized that they were being massacred not for the public good, but to satisfy one man's mania." So Paul the Apostle could have wrote Romans, time to get back at Nero, kill him. No, he said, don't avenge yourself, wait for God. And I would tell you, then in the next chapter, Romans 13, Paul says to submit to the government. and he was talking about the Roman government. So I think Paul could only write these words believing that there's a God in heaven and God in his time will spank. And that happened in 68 AD. Nero killed himself. So if you've got a Nero in your life, don't touch him. The Lord will deal in his time with your Nero. Look at verse 20. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Now, what exactly does the burning coals mean? Well, it's a little unclear, but it probably means you treat your enemy really nice and he'll get a guilty conscience. So here's the next lesson. Show your enemies love. You ever seen the bumper sticker? Love your enemies, it will drive them crazy. Love your enemies. Show them love. Years ago, I had to confront a man in the church that I served because he was sexually abusing his stepdaughter. I called the authorities. And I also called him into my office to try to confront him on this. He walks into my office and he puts a letter on my desk and he says, "Pastor Brock, I want you to read this letter and I better get out of here before I rip your face off." And he left and I read this letter. I don't know that I've ever read a letter so angry and hateful toward me in my life. I remember sitting there thinking, "Okay, Lord, what do I do with this?" And I picked up the phone. I called him. I said, "Would you be willing to come in and we can talk about this?" He came in. He broke. He wept. He confessed to some things. He went to prison, but sometimes when you respond with love, that's what will get to people. This morning, I was talking with a couple missionaries that just got back from Pakistan. Radical Muslims are burning Christian churches right now in Pakistan. They're burning Christian homes. And I said to these, what are the Christians doing? The Christians are refusing to retaliate. And my friend said, and it's getting to some of these Muslims. Some of them are converting. Do you show love to your enemies? G.K. Chesterton wrote this many years ago about St. Francis of Assisi, who lived about 1200 A.D. Here we go. St. Francis was one day traveling, and he looked ahead on the path, and he saw horribly white in the sunshine a leper. Instinctively, he drew back from the contamination of that awful disease. Then he was ashamed of himself. Francis rallied. He ran and threw his arms around the leper's neck and kissed him and passed on. A moment later, Francis looked back on the road, and there was no one there. All the days of his life thereafter, he was sure it was no leper, but Christ himself whom he had met. So, Christian, God is calling you and me to love the most unlovely person in our life. And then lastly, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And the next verse, let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Last thing to do with your enemies, use authority when you need to. I mean, if you have somebody who's being mean and evil to you, you have the right to call the authorities. Paul the Apostle used the authorities to protect himself. There were many Jews that wanted Paul dead, and Paul kept saying, I'm a Roman citizen, I have a right to a trial, and he protected himself from his enemies by using the government. You have that right too. I don't think it's wrong for a Christian to call the police if they need to. I mean, if you've watched my show, I don't believe in divorce and remarriage. I think if you get divorced, you just stay single. And so people have written, well, do you think a wife should stay with her husband who's beating her? And I say, she should call the authorities. She has the right to call the police. So let's review all this. Let's say you've got an enemy in your life. How do you deal with them? Well, here's what the Bible says. When they curse you, you bless them. Pray for them. You weep with them and they weep. You rejoice when they rejoice. Don't think you're better than them. Take no revenge, but you are allowed to confront them humbly. Do what you can for peace. Know that God is the one who can do the spanking, so let God do it. And then show love, kiss the leper, and use the authorities when you need to. All right, one last question. How do you make peace with God? In a sense, there is enmity between God and us. God is holy. He hates sin. I'm a sinner. So how am I going to be at peace with God? I read of a woman, young woman, who was dying, and the pastor comes to visit her in the hospital and says, well, Judy, have you made your peace with God? And she responded, Pastor, I can't make my peace with God. Jesus made my peace with God. And here's how it works. If you want to have peace with God, you can't do that. You need to believe that Christ, God's only begotten Son, comes down from heaven, lives a perfect life that you and I can't, so he can go to the cross and die for your sins and pay for your sins, rises from the dead, and you will then have peace with God. Your sins will be forgiven. All right, one last thing I want to do before we close. I'm going to sing a song. And I want to ask you, if you would, to close your eyes in your living room or your bedroom or wherever you're watching this. And I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think of a man in your life who has wounded you. who maybe you need to forgive. So get that person's face in your mind, and I ask you to pray about that as I sing. So pray now. I forgive him, I forgive him all. I forgive his sins, both great and small. I forgive him everything he's ever done. I forgive him everyone. Now maybe can you think of a woman in your life who has wounded you? Now take some time and pray for that person and forgive them. I forgive her, I forgive her all. I forgive her sins, both great and small. I forgive her everything she's ever done. I forgive her everyone. And lastly, is there something that maybe you've been harboring bitterness and you need to ask God's forgiveness for that? And so do that while I sing the last verse. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me all. Lord, forgive my sins, both great and small. Lord, forgive me everything I've ever done. Lord, forgive me everyone. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today is, why can't I get you in Rochester, Minnesota any longer?
Well, this is sad, Mona. Our TV show has been on a Rochester TV station for about 12 years. We were told last month that they're not going to run our program anymore, even though we had a contract and have been paying our bills the whole time, mm-hmm. because of LGBTQAI+ community concerns.
Hmm.
Mona, I have same-sex attraction. We've talked about that. I just believe the behavior is a sin. Well, they don't like that. And so they're kicking us off the air. Hmm. That, to me, is sad. And so our agency talked to this person and says, well, you know, her point was, you believe in diversity and inclusivity. Mm-hmm. Can't we have a different opinion than you on this issue? Well, the answer is no, so they're kicking us off mm-hmm. the air. So, you know, talking about praying for people, and I've had to pray for these people the last few weeks. But, you know, the thing is, God knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. We found another two stations to replace the one station we're getting kicked off of. So everybody, if you go to our website, pastorstudy.org, mm-hmm. and you hit the button on where can we see the TV show, you'll see not one station now that we got kicked off of. You'll see two stations in Rochester where you can see our show. But there we go. Isn't that sad? I mean, this is the day and age in which we live. When you and I were little, mm-hmm. if a TV show would promote homosexuality, you'd be in trouble. Now if you don't endorse it, you're in trouble.
It is sad.
Yeah.
Sad day.
Yeah.
I have tried to forgive certain people that have hurt me, but I can't. What should I do?
All right, Mona, here's what I have learned to do, is not live by my feelings. So let's say, Mona, you snap at me and mm-hmm. you storm off. I would stop and I'd say, God, I forgive Mona for what she just did. And you promise me, if I pray according to your will, you answer the prayer. So Lord, I may not feel it, but I forgive Mona, not in my strength and power, but in your strength and power for what she did. That's what you do. Now what if 2 minutes later, if you're thinking, rah, 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 to Mona, well, you ignore those feelings. You have promised, God promises to answer our prayer when we pray in accordance with his will. Mm-hmm. We know it's his will for me to forgive you. Mm-hmm. So that's the way I handle my anger. And that, like these people in Rochester, Lord, I forgive them in your strength and power. Bring them to Christ. Bring them close to you. But that doesn't mean I haven't thought about it for a few more times after that.
True.
So there you go. Yeah.
Is it ever permissible for a Christian to sue another Christian?
Well, I got to read this. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and the Apostle Paul writes this to the church at Corinth, Christian people. Does any one of you, when he has a case against his neighbor, dare to go to the law before the unrighteous, that would be the Roman law courts, mm-hmm. and not before the saints, that'd be your church elders? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world someday? And if the world is judged by you, are you not competent to constitute the smallest law courts? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? Somehow, Christians are going to be involved in judging angels at the end. How much more than matters of this life? If then you have law courts dealing with matters of this life, do you appoint them as judges who are of no account in the church? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not among you one wise man who will be able to decide between his brethren, but brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers? And actually, it is already a defeat for you that you have lawsuits with one another. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? On the contrary, you yourselves wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Hmm. So, Mona, let's say you and I let's say you owe me $500 and you refuse to pay it. But we agreed you were going to pay me $500. I loaned it to you, mm-hmm. and you refuse. Well, do we run off to the court and Judge Judy goes at it? No. You and I go to the elders of the church, and we try to sort it out there. And if you can't sort it out there, Paul says, why not rather be defrauded than to go to the law? Mm-hmm. So I won't go into the details, but there was a person that got a lawyer and tried to get money out of the church, and they did. But it's a shame when Christians go to war against Christians in court. It's so much better. Go to your church elders. And let's say you and I go to different churches, mm-hmm. then you would bring your pastor and I'd bring mine. Can we try to talk this out?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Pastor Brock, how did the Apostle Paul die?
Well, now this is early church history. We're mm-hmm. not sure about this, but the early report, it's not in the Bible, so this is not scripture, about 67 AD, maybe under the persecution of Caesar Nero after the fire that he started, he was beheaded. Mm-hmm. So probably Paul was beheaded during Nero's time for preaching the gospel. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do I do if I am a nurse or a pharmacist and my job is making me support abortion?
I think I'd maybe use the law. Mm-hmm. And I would first of all say, look, I can't as a Christian nurse partake of an abortion. Mm-hmm. Well, then you're fired. Well, then you say, then I quit. But we're going to have to see what the law says about mm-hmm. this. And Mona, we got 10 seconds left, so say goodbye to people.
Thanks for joining us today. Have a blessed week. We'll see you next week on The Pastor Study. God bless you.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.